feel like it's so important to have coworkers that are on task just as much as you are and dedicated to their job, especially since it's like, you know, for the youth and for the community, and so important to be able to provide and just know that like your work is paying off equally. I feel like having coworkers that, you know, you feel like are working just as hard as you are and very passionate about what they're doing, so important.
If someone comes to me and says, "Kevin, can you take care of this portion of a project?" I want them to have the confidence that I'll take care of it. Likewise, I want to lean on my colleagues and go, "Hey, can you take care of this portion of the project?" So, for example, we had an end of year event for NDK fellows, right? I want to have the confidence that, okay, I need someone to take care of, let's say, the decor and design. They take care of that. If we're going to have balloons, if we're going to have streamers, if we're going to have signs, we're going to have posters, the confidence that someone's taking care of that. "Kevin, I need you to work with the young people and prepare them." "No problem. I'll work with the MCs. I'll work with the presenters. I'll take care of that piece." "Okay, who's going to take care of the music and food?" "Someone will take care of that." So more hands makes the load lighter. More hands make the load lighter. And in this MBK work, having adults you can turn to do different parts of a project is extremely helpful. In addition, there are also mentors you have as an adult. I think everyone should continue to have a mentor. So at my job, there are folks who I admire, folks who I trust that I can go to for advice, for counsel, even for insight. Sometimes someone can help you see an issue differently than you would on your own. They may say, "Hey, Kevin, have you considered it from this perspective? Have you seen it this way?" That's helpful as well. Because no one knows everything. No one knows everything. And so having mentors all throughout your life is helpful because they know things you don't know. They see things from vantage points and perspectives that you don't. And so it's always helpful throughout your life to have mentors if you're so fortunate. Because again, if iron sharpens iron and you intend to be an effective form of iron, you will always and repeatedly need to rub up against other pieces of iron in order to stay sharp. And that happens throughout your life. Be a lifelong learner. Be a lifelong mentee.
I agree with that. Because mentors can offer a perspective. Because when you're young and you're like in the moment of distress, then you're not really thinking rationally. And even when you're young, like, and seeking guidance, you know, or even like at any age, when you go to like a therapist, like you're saying things from your perspective, but I feel like mentors, similarly to a therapist, can offer like an outside perspective that you may not have thought of, and an unbiased point of view. Even though the therapist may care about you or the mentor may care about you, it's very important to just, you know, offer insight that you wouldn't know of, or that you can't really see until you're told it. So it's so great to be able to have people that you go to for help and to lean on. And especially when MBK is like based off of social justice and like racial like relations, it's just, you know, things that happen like, you know, around New York that affects us, that we see, or even like around the world, or some sort of experience that we may have gone through individually. It can be a little bit like dawning on us and hard to like feel motivated to continue like doing what we're doing, because, you know, things still happen, things will always still happen. It's not going to completely stop, and there's only so much that we can do.
That's right. If life is a race, we all have a leg of the race to run, like in a relay race. And so, you know, there are folks who run the beginning of the race. There are ones who run the middle of the race. And there are ones who run the anchor leg of the race. And I think we all need to be able to pass the baton to others for us all to complete the race. And when that anchor crosses the finish line, we all, as a team, this. Two things I know. No one, when it comes to life, no one makes it out alive. Right? We all have our expiration date, and no one makes it by themselves.
Right. And with that in mind, I would also like to know, how has being a part of MBK in the moment of national racial reckoning mattered?
Well, in terms of the national racial reckoning, I think of the, I don't even call it social unrest, the social reckoning that was taking place in the wake of the murders of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and others. And the young people, as is always the case, were at the forefront of pushing for social change, just as it happened years ago in the civil rights movement, with the guidance maybe and counsel of elders, but the young people had the energy and activism to really push for change, as they did in the sit-ins, as they did in bus boycotts, as they did in other spaces. And I really learned from what young people were doing, and it made me question some of the ways in which I move through the world, because my senses can get dulled. I remember watching young people, including those in MBK, and I would speak to my mother about the way I was raised. No insults or affront to the way I was raised. I think I was raised very, very well, but I thought about all the things that I equated with success, and had the question, okay, who says that means success? I have a law degree, and I went to a top 20 law school, I have a job in education, which is important, where I come in with suit and tie, and there's certain culture that exists all the time. A culture, in my estimation, among other things, is just the way of being. The mores, the customs, the traditions, the way folks interact, routine, all that is culture. But that's influenced by someone's culture, and watching the young people made me question that. Like, who said this is the right way to do it? Is there only one right way to do it? I'm in Alabama right now. There are many ways to get to Alabama. You could fly. You could drive. You could take a train. But all that made me think there's more than one way to define success. There's more than one way to push for change. And through MBK, I watched how the young people moved, and it made me question, do we do a disservice to young people? Or do we tell young people there's only one way to be successful? There's only one way to push for progress. It made me question that. Is that what we say at MBK? This is the way. When we talk about closing opportunity gaps for boys and men of color, are we trying to say these are the ways you do it? Or do we allow young people to be critical thinkers for themselves and say, one, as you may know, there are opportunity gaps that need to be closed. These are some ways to do it, but we also ask you and empower you to think of ways on your own to do it. Throughout education, that's MBK, I wonder, do we really teach young people how to be critical thinkers, or just how to be compliant learners, right? Or how to get the right answer, right? If I ask someone 2 + 2 = 4, well, how did you arrive at that? Right? There's more than one way to do that. You can group things into two and put them together and go, I got four. You can count out one item, two items, three items, four items, right? And we teach young people how to really be independent, critical, empowered thinkers. Or do we just want to feed them things for them to be compliant? Some economists would say, we'll always have a quote-unquote underclass. We'll always have a need for the everyday blue-collar worker. But are we teaching our kids to only be, quote-unquote, underclass, blue-collar workers? Or are we teaching our kids to be free thinkers? And is MBK teaching our kids, empowering our kids? Maybe we should stop teaching so much and talk about empowering our kids to be independent thinkers. So we had this time of national racial reckoning. What kind of support are we providing the kids? Are we looking at them going, oh, it's terrible the way they're blocking up traffic or walking the street? Or are we saying, as they said to Muhammad Ali, rumble, young man, rumble? No, we want our kids to be safe. And we want our kids to be responsible. And we want our kids to be courteous. but we also want our kids to be free. And as Nina Simone would say, freedom is the absence of fear. How do we get our kids to be fearless? And so I wonder if MBK is helping our kids to become fearless. I don't know the answer to that yet. But all these things are in my mind with respect to MBK and our moment of national racial reckoning.
Definitely. Do you feel like MBK, like, in general, could have done more to address all of the racial reckoning and injustice that's been happening?
Yes, and we all could have. Yes, MBK, our schools are institutions of worship. Our government, yes. We could always do more, yes. I may not always know the ways in which we could do more, but I know we can do more. I think about the support we lend, right? I think it's great that I engage with you and other folks, other young people. I'm like, Kevin, could you have done more? What more can you do, right? So today's a Saturday, we're talking. That's fine, my pleasure. It's not a burden. Again, if it's a calling, a vocation, then do it. You can't help but do it. We can always do more. Did I listen enough? That I empower enough, that I support enough. I'll always think about that. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I'll always think we haven't done enough and could do more.
I agree. I feel like no matter how hard we try, we can always do better and grow as people and, you know, see the cause from a different angle, maybe approach it differently, work towards it differently.
And knowing that you have more to do, doesn't make me hopeless. It inspires me to reach more. Reach for more, to do more. Because we know that I've got more work to do. Because also, like anything, I think equity and empowerment is not a destination you reach. It's a process you refine. It's like people who, when we talk about how can we make people more culturally conscious at work. It's not a destination you reach. Like, suddenly I'm awake. I get it now. No. I may become sensitive to some things, but still have to increase my sensitivity to some other things. Right? Or I'm going to learn, I didn't realize that. Right? You may think, I'm the perfect mate to whoever you're in a relationship with. There's always more you can do to do better, to do differently. The things you maybe have blind spots about. Right? Same thing with support, same thing with empowerment, same thing with understanding. There's always more we can do. But that's not to make you feel hopeless and full of despair. Because, an opportunity to do more, an opportunity to do better. So, being able to do better is an opportunity. That's how I see it.
Definitely. And I would also like to know how the pandemic impacted your work at MBK and your experience at MBK.
Well, it made me sad because we couldn't be together. I talked about how the iron sharpens iron if iron's not in the same room. And the pandemic prevented us from being together as an MBK community, at times in a physical space. And we try to do our best in a virtual space, but it was different. I won't lie. It was different. It was no excuse to not still curate an experience or experiences, but it was different. We couldn't be in the same room together. We couldn't look each other in the eye the same way. We couldn't embrace the way we would normally. It really was different. But it made us be creative too. Again, it was an opportunity to shift things somehow. Like, how can we still find ways to engage with young people? I was also with a lot of young people were isolated by themselves. I mean, maybe their family was there, don't get me wrong, but they spent a lot of time away from their friends. And that saddened me. It was just different. And not for the better. so I ever think about that, and that concerned me. But it also gave us opportunities to think about how we create experiences virtually online. Don't let anything stop us, because no one promised that life would be easy. No one promised that everything would work out the way we want to all the time. So it also gave an opportunity to be creative. How can we still create worthwhile, valuable experiences for the MBK community, even though you can't be together in the same physical space? But it did have an impact. It was different.
Definitely, it's really unfortunate. I feel like it really set a lot of limitations on what we were able to accomplish and what we were able to do. So then we had to switch things to virtual, especially since to those of us that were impacted by the pandemic, whether that be directly or with our family. Definitely, and we were still able to get through chapters and cohorts, you know, all throughout this pandemic.
Yes.
Despite it happening for, you know, over 2 years.
Yep.
It's been too long. We've still been soldiering through it, not letting it stop us from achieving our goals. And how do you engage with MBK? And how do you engage with MBK? And do you feel like there's other ways to be a part of MBK or fight for the goals and mission of MBK without being an MBK?
Yes. Yes. I think MBK is a way, not the way. That to be clear, I don't think there's only one way. Like, there's not one way to get to Alabama. Not one way to close opportunity gaps for boys and men of color. I think there are other organizations that may exist. So, in the 60s, I think about Malcolm X and the Nation of Islam. And I think about Martin Luther King Jr. and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. And I think about Stokely Carmichael, changed his name to Kwame Ture. And I think about all civil rights ambassadors who may have had slightly different ways to get to freedom and equality and equity. There wasn't one way. And over time, particularly with respect to Malcolm X and Dr. King, Malcolm X would say, I'm willing to work with anyone sincerely and authentically is trying to change the oppressive condition for what he termed the so-called Negro in America. Anybody working together for a common goal. I think MBK is just one way to close opportunity gaps for boys and men of color, but not the only way. So I want to start by making that perfectly clear. I think that we could also do more to explore and impact how we can work with our young girls and women of color. Because the success of our boys and men in color, of color, is not exclusive to girls and young women. There are ways that we can, I don't know if the word is incorporate, there are ways we can support. So it's not like they have to be mutually exclusive endeavors. And I think we actually can lose some benefit by not engaging our girls and young business people to achieve, closing opportunity gaps. They will talk to women enough. Right? Maybe we did that. They were closing opportunity gaps. So maybe we can do that more. Another organization I'm heavily involved in or really respect is called Man Up. No, A Call to Men. If you give me Man Up, another organization. But A Call to Men talks about getting after man bombs. The ways we define maleness and manhood can be very detrimental, not just toxic, but can just be very incomplete. And embracing and understanding and supporting our women can be so beneficial. So maybe there are ways that MBK can think about doing that. How can we embrace, support, listen to our girls and young women of color? That's another way I think that one can engage with MBK in a different way and be part of the community. Also, how we define maleness, right? And male-identified youth. Maybe we can be more expansive in our view and understanding of that. I'm always in favor of revisiting our goals and revisiting the way in which we do things. Because to say, I think it's a sign of intelligence to revisit information you have. And when you get new information, how does that impact your understanding of things? Many once thought the earth was flat. Then they got new information. Now how that impact your view of the shape of the world? Many thought that the sun revolved around the earth. We realized, nope, it was heliocentric, and we revolve around the sun. Now how does that change your impact of things? Right, based upon new information, right? Galileo and others who had to suffer because others didn't want to listen to new information that was available, right? Copernicus finally convinced people that, hey, listen, the movement of heavenly bodies is different based upon new information. So maybe there's some new information that we as an MBK community can benefit from if we expose ourselves to it. And maybe that lies in looking to our girl and young women of color. But there are many ways, I think, to still achieve the goal of closing opportunity gaps for boys and women of color that we haven't even scraped the surface of in MBK.
I agree. There's so many points we could touch and things we can address in MBK that affect us, because I feel like we already target like such broad subjects, which is, you know, young men of color. Like, yeah, that's, you know, sort of specific, but I feel like it can go so much deeper than that. And I agree, because I feel like, you know, we haven't really been able to collaborate with any sort of, like, you know, like the female initiative or female organization where, like, you know, like, brothers and sisters have been able to work together. But I feel like, you know, I feel like young women of color are even more oppressed than young men of color, and I feel like we could do stuff to benefit and help them too, you know, and maybe see things from their perspective and listen to them, and then maybe, like, adjust things that we do at MBK, like, based off of maybe they feel like, you know, we're not doing enough for the sisters.
And how we know that if you're
listening? Exactly. I mean, it's thanks to, you know, women of color that we're even able to be where we are right now.
That's right.
A lot of our culture is based off of them.
A moment ago, I talked about how, as is often the case, young people lead the charge in terms of social activism, and I mentioned a bit about, you know, sit-ins and bus boycotts. But also, has not fully been celebrated or raised up is the work of our women that were leaders, not just supporters, but leaders. And for whatever reason, maybe political expediency, we didn't celebrate them or give them the sort of acknowledgement they deserve. Yeah, we'll mention Grandma Moses and helping them lead slaves to freedom. Yeah, we'll mention Sojourner Truth. You may mention Fannie Lou Hamer. But there's so many other women who strategize, coordinated, who spearheaded efforts, but we don't know.
Certainly. Now it's not like we learn about it at school.
If not like we learned about it in school. Another thing MDK can maybe do, when I think about how in the wake of the death of Trayvon Martin, Tamir Rice, MDK began to take shape, maybe we can talk about self-esteem, personal safety, engaging with officers, and maybe that can emphasize in some MDK communities, but I don't know if they've got enough. Maybe physical fitness, you know, how you feel about yourself, maybe impact how you carry yourself, how you see yourself, how you engage with the world. And there's so many ways, ways that I'm not even aware of, because I myself suffer from blind spots. I won't pretend that I'm immune to myopia, right, and narrow focus. I myself may not be aware of the myriad of ways in which MDK really do the work that needs to be done. And we have to be open to new ways of thinking.
I agree. Like, we need to see things from all different types of perspectives so that we know how to approach it, like, approach any sort of, like, topic or problem in many different ways, especially because it impacts many different people differently.
That's right.
Yeah. And I feel like MBK has achieved so much, but, like, we can always do bigger and better and expand. I feel like MBK has so much potential. And with all of the success that MBK has, I would like to know if you have a success story of MBK, or if you know anyone else with a success story in MBK.
Yeah, you. Yeah, LA Babylonia, yeah. You are a success story. You are someone who's gone through the program or continues to go through the program, and I look at the way you engage, now from my perspective, you know better than me, of course, the level of comfort, the relationships you build. You mention and talk about how, I believe, I don't know, you may have been the first trans MDK fellow. I don't know. But how you are part of the family. And not that that's not important, but it's incidental. Because you are part of the family, right? And to the extent you shared that in your journey with your brothers, what I saw from where I sat was acceptance was okay with you, right? Not to undermine or downplay or disregard the importance of the transitions you were going through, but also going for the salient. That's okay. But what was important is that you are a member of the community, a brother. So to me, that's a success story. The fact you would come and engage and participate and take a leadership role in whatever we ask you to do is success. Not every environment is that welcoming. Not every environment makes someone feel that supported. And not every person, shout out to you, has the courage, has the wherewithal, has the willingness to share, to be vulnerable, and to put themselves in certain environments. So hats off to you. Not hats off to us, but hats off to you. And you are a success story. So, yeah, it's not hard for me to find a success story when it comes to MDK. I'm talking to one right now.
I definitely feel like, you know, opening the doors for trans, you know, men of color is very important. Because I feel like it really is, like, trans people of color that made the LGBTQ+ community and made, like, a lot of what we do. Like, for example, like, ballroom and voguing and, like, pride parades. Like, last month was Pride Month. And I actually went, I went to the pride parade with MBK, like, I went, like, because Angel told me that some people from the office were going, and he connected me with Narita, which Narita actually helped me make the questions for my community service project at my event. And then I went with Narita and some other people from the office, and Vanessa Gibson was also there, and it was really great.
Awesome.
It just goes to show how much MBK has support for, you know, just everybody, regardless of their different walks of life.
That's right. That's right.
Certainly. And
that's another way. Maybe we can hear more from our trans youth of color, right? About how we can do better, how we can be more supportive, how we can close opportunity gaps that they experience as well.
Definitely. Because it's just, you know, it was like a little nerve-wracking because, like, when I came into MBK, I had, like, experience from the, like, male empowerment club in my school. But, like, I remember before I even joined, like, the male empowerment club in my school called Building Brothers, like, I was like, since I'm trans, like, am I even able to be up, like, am I even allowed to be part of it? And when they said yes, like, I was really happy. And it was the same thing for MBK because Mr. Johnson, when he told me about MBK, the principal of my school, and he suggested that I apply for it, and he told me that it would be, like, a big commitment, but that it would be great for me, and it would also just be great because he knows how much I care about social justice and how I'm always open to sharing my perspective and sharing, like, my opinions and speaking up for what I believe in. I was, like, really nervous because I'm like, I hope I'm able to be a part of it even though I'm trans. It's just, I mean, like, yeah, I've been transitioning for many years since I was in middle school, but no, it was just, you know, great to still be a part of MBK because MBK is open for, you know, men of color.
That's right. That's right.
And I would like to also know, like, if there's anything that you believe that the MBK program that you work for does really well.
Yes, I think MBK does a good job making connections. I think there are vast MBK connections all over the city. I work centrally, but on a district level, there are MBK connections. Superintendents, principals, at school level, on a statewide level, New York City, Yonkers, Ramapo, Utica. When folks come together for the Asian, Black, Hispanic caucus, MBK is in the house. When they have the MBK symposium, you see on a statewide level, all the connections that are there, all the boys and women of color under the MBK umbrella, MBK banner that are brought together. On a national level, which I've not been a part of yet, but when there are trips to California, and President Obama will still support, like, wow, what connections are existing here? And just seeing that sense of belonging that everyone craves, is amazing to me. I think MBK does that really, really well. There's more we can do, but I think the connections that exist are something that MBK does really, really well.
I agree. Like, thinking about the fact that, you know, Barack Obama founded it, and then, like, in the past, like, we were able to, you know, actually be able to, like, some of the, like, you know, the fellows from the past were able to meet him. That's, like, beautiful to think of, like, just how, you know, someone with such an amount of power and impact on just U.S. history, you know, being the first Black president, like, and he, you know, made MBK. Like, just thinking about how we were able to circle all the way back to where it came from, an inspiration, and it just goes to show how, you know, how much brothers can rise up and have power but still give back to their community and not forget where they came from. You see it a lot with celebrities too, just in general.
Yep.
And it's beautiful to see. And it just goes to show how using your platform and using your power is so important. Especially just, you know, helping those in your community. Because it's, like, harder to actually, like, have that power and rise up when you're a person of color.
That's right.
Yeah. And how do you feel like MBK can continue to be used in your future?
I would like to be a part of MBK for as long as I can. There are organizational changes happening at the Department of Education where I work, and I said, hey, if possible, I'd like to continue my work with MBK. It's not just an assignment or a work portfolio. That's him repeatedly during that conversation. It is a calling. It is a vocation, not just my occupation. And so I'd like to continue to use it to build up boys and men and women as well. I learned every experience. So if given other opportunities to work with young people, I will take lessons I learned from MBK. If given the opportunity to continue supporting MBK, I will take lessons I learned from each of the MBK fellows with whom I encountered, what I should do more of, what I should do less of. So I definitely intend to continue to use it and continue to support MBK in the future. Some people thought I was hired to do MBK work. Like, nope. That's not even a part of my job description. It's a part of my heart prescription. It's what I need my heart to feel healthy.
Definitely. Because it just benefits us.
That's right. I like to think so. So it's not just about me, but being of service, that's what I need to do, but the impact and what I want to do. If I had my druthers, MBK Fellows Program wouldn't just start for rising seniors. It would start maybe for rising juniors or rising sophomores. So there's more time to be together. So we can really chart success and we can really measure impact, right? And I'd also like to maybe change the criteria. You don't need to be a quote unquote shining star. Just a young person with potential. Just a young person who needs a chance, who needs a shot. Even if you don't see it in yourself, right? Because young people willing to show up, right? And let the work begin. For those who are successful anyway, by all means, they need support. They need recognition, acknowledgement, celebration. But also those who we think have such challenges who we don't think stand a shot. They're the ones who need it more than anyone, I think. And so maybe in the future, I'd like to help suggest to the decision-makers in MBK about revisiting and revising our criteria, selection criteria. That's something we could do a lot better. Because it's also something that's to our young people, oh, you want to be in this program, you got to be this way or that way. Maybe no one thought that we could have a trans MBK fellow because they hadn't seen one before. But now you can talk to others, or they may see you and go, oh, I can be part of that as well. And maybe no child that was considered to be a quote-unquote lost case or lost hope thinks I could be a part of that program. Until they see another kid they know who may have been considered a lost case and lost hope be a part of the program and go, oh, that's an opportunity for me as well? Yes, that's an opportunity for you as well. You know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe like in student voice opportunities, people go, oh, I'm not with the kids in central, those sorts of things. Until they see a kid who they never thought would qualify. And that may give them the encouragement. Courage to try as well. Well, they took it to the other kid, maybe they'll accept me too. So sometimes we send messages in so many ways, covertly, inadvertently, right? By how we select folks, about who we think belongs and does not belong. So maybe we can do a better job of that. So those who don't think they stand a chance, those who don't think they qualify, tick the holes on the prototype, we can change their thinking as well. Not just their thinking, but the world. I know it's been over an hour.
No, it's okay. It just goes to show how passionate you are, and I appreciate it. So, how do you feel like MBK has overall impacted your trajectory, whether that be with your social life, academically, with like overall leadership, and with your specific career?
I think of my career more than anything to make sure that whatever I do, a part of my professional life involves supporting young people. For sure. Because we talk about the whole child, right? We want to educate the whole child. That means not just speak academically, but socially, emotionally, mentally, physically, because it's one Ellie, right? With all these facets, a circle is 360 degrees, right? So now the degrees, the emotional health, and all these things. So when I think about my life and my career, there's one Kevin. So a part of my career, my professional life, should involve supporting kids in some way, somehow, whatever the future holds, however my trajectory looks. I mentioned my personal life, I would teach Sunday school. I mentioned in my academic life, I would teach constitutional law, right? Being a part of young people's lives and having a part of my life is part of Kevin, whatever I do, whoever I am, right? When I walk into a space, I bring myself, I bring my ancestors, I bring all of them. I bring my New York ways, I'm down in Alabama. I got my New York ways, right? The way I move, the way I see things. And so if supporting young people is part of who Kevin is, it makes up that 360-degree circle that is Kevin. I've got to think about supporting young people. And I think in my career, that's got to be a permanent part of it.
Definitely. And how do you feel like MBK can have a bigger impact?
As I mentioned before, about making sure the people we select, the young people we select, are all sorts of young people, with all levels of academic achievements. Leaders come in all forms. Think about Dr. Malcolm X. It is early life. You know where we develop knowledge of self? In prison. By almost every measurable indicator, Malcolm X was not supposed to be a success story. From Malcolm Little to Detroit Red to the national spokesman for the Nation of Islam to a hero of mine. One, a person I never would have heard about. Someone to give him a chance. So I'm a Christian by religious and spiritual tradition and orientation. And I believe I serve a God that meets you where you are. You don't just have to go to church to find my God. I believe my God finds you in the alleyway, finds you in the doorway, finds you in the office, finds you in the playground, finds you in the strip club, thanks you on the basketball court, he comes to you, right? I'm a Christian, and so where did Jesus go? He didn't say, you're going to find me, you can come to the temple, the tabernacle. He went out in the streets. He went to the tax collectors. He went to the fishermen. He went to the everyday people. He went to places and they said, what are you doing here? And that's where I find them. I meet them where they are. I think MBK can do a better job or have a greater impact or a bigger impact by meeting young people where they are. So let me go find this kid that people say is trouble. I gave up on Derek. Oh, he's too much. Let me go talk to Derek. When I taught constitutional law in law school, they said to me, Kevin, the only school we have available, well, not only one we have available, but we have a school available in a really rough part of D.C. And I said, that's the school I want. That's my first choice. I want to go where, where you consider it to be a rough place. Because those kids could really benefit from me being there. Not the specialized schools where the kids are already doing well. Who are great kids, and they deserve to be praised. They deserve to be empowered. They deserve to be supported. But so too do these kids that have challenges. So MBK can have a bigger impact if we work with kids that have bigger challenges. Does that make sense? And then we really can measure our impact over time. Because if you're already doing well, and I get you when you're last year of school, you have all your responsibilities, you're doing your college applications, and you're getting ready for your prom, you're doing all your other extracurricular activities, and I'm just one more program, and you're successful, you're successful anyway. And I measure the impact and go, look how well Elliot's done. Well, how do I know that's attributable to the work that we've done in MBK? As opposed to if I find you when you're earlier in high school, and maybe you're considered trouble, maybe you're a discipline problem or disruptive, and over time, the course of your time in the MBK fellows, you have turned around academically, you've turned around socially, you've turned around behaviorally, then we can say, ha, maybe our program had something to do with the changes, the development in Elliot's life. So I think we have a greater impact if if you go further upstream, stop our kids from falling into places they can't, they should fall into, or pulling out from some challenging situation the kids who everybody else has given up on. That way, MDKS is going to have a better impact.
Definitely. And are there any challenges, limitations, or barriers that you feel MBK is not capable of solving?
There's none that I think we're not capable of solving. There are things we just have not solved yet. But we can do it. So it's not a matter of ability. Right? So there are different types of ability. Okay? That I learned, that I was taught, that I was told, and I think. It's are true. MBK doesn't suffer from an ability issue. I think there's availability, there's reliability, there's accountability. I think we've got to make ourselves more available to our kids, especially those kids who have great, great challenges and that we consider to be problem kids. Reliability, they can count on us. We say we're going to show up, let's be there. Hey, Kevin, can we do an interview on a Saturday? No problem. I'll make myself available, and I'll be reliable. If you can call, I will answer. And accountability, seeing our success and future tied to that of our young people. So I think there's nothing that we're not able to do if we apply the right type of ability to the issue.
Right. And do you feel like MBK can work to solve those problems in terms of...
I think so. Yeah, I'm an optimist. Because you guys are working. We better figure it out. What's the alternative? Not doing it? Not solving it? That's unacceptable. We gotta solve it. Now, again, I don't always have the answer or the means or the method, but I know we gotta do it. And I'm like, sign me up. We have to do it. The other alternative, if you want to call it an alternative, is the eradication of our young people. We're not having that. But we have to do it. Yes, we can do it. Yes, we can. By also allowing the greater space for young people to express themselves, hear their voice, hear from you. Not just serving you pre-made missions, but asking you, hey, here's an issue we're trying to tackle. How do you think we can tackle it? Partner with us. We need your advice. We need your input.
Definitely.
That's how we can work towards solving stuff.
Is there anything that I didn't ask but you think I should have?
No. I think your questions are very, very thorough. One question you didn't ask, and I'll tell you, you didn't ask, hey, what can I do now that I've gone through the formal part of the MBK experience? What can I do to help close the opportunity gaps for boys and young men of color? And I'll tell you, Elliot, keep doing what you're doing. Stay involved. Keep seizing opportunities. What you're doing right now is part of an internship opportunity that you took advantage of. Never giving up. You wouldn't look depressing or despondent or bleak. Scholarships don't come through, apply for the next one. When you carry yourself with a sense of esteem, pride, responsibility to yourself and your community. Exercise those forms of ability. Availability, reliability, and accountability in all that you do. So, I answered the question you didn't even ask. What can you do?
There's always things we can do. That'd be okay. With that closing statement, I would like to ask again, making sure if you're still comfortable with me sharing this interview.
Yes, yeah, I'm comfortable with you recording it. I'm comfortable with you sharing it.
Wonderful. Thank you for allowing me to interview you.
Yes, and thank you for reaching out to me. thank you. You didn't have to even reach out to me. Please stay in touch. Please, pretty please stay in touch. I'm going to go back now. So I don't get in trouble because I'm on vacation, as I mentioned. But this was important. Talking with you was important enough to carve out time on my vacation. Talking with you was important enough for me to tell my girlfriend, hey, I need some time because you're worth it. And you are always worth it.
I appreciate it a lot.
All right, man.
I hope you have a good vacation.
Thank you so much. Take care.
You too, man. Yeah, we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye.